Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and for allowing us to be in your presence. It is a privilege and an honor to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, not many creatures have that blessing and that honor, but you've allowed us, you've chosen us, you've looked on us with grace and said, I'll let them be in my presence. And God, we chose tonight to be here, to enjoy you, to worship you, to lift your name on high, recognize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Prince of Peace. As we come into this season of Christmas, as December is starting, and we're remembering the greatest gift to mankind. God became man to save us from our sins. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you tonight. You know, peace have been the overarching theme of our consecration time. And even as I came tonight, I just hear worship about Jesus and peace. And we've been thinking, praying, talking about peace all that time. Peace is a very interesting concept. It is so difficult to attain and so easy to lose. You look around the world and you look around the United States of America, and a lot of people are talking about peace today and the lack of it. Why peace is so difficult? You know, peace is something that is not easy to get and it's very easy to lose. A few days ago, I was on a kind of a flash trip. I flew down to Bolivia, South America, and I took an airline that stopped in another city before the city I was going to. It stopped in a city called La Paz. Now, La Paz, if you've never been to South America, is the highest airport in the world. It's 15,000 feet above sea level. Planes do not land in La Paz. They park. It's that high. So we get to La Paz, and the plane lands after a long flight from Miami. And I'm glad we landed. After a couple of minutes, they get some new passengers, and we're on our way to Santa Cruz, Bolivia, where I'm going. And I had an incredibly busy schedule. I'm already thinking all the things I'm going to do. I was taking my mother, moving her back to Bolivia. I had a lot of things to do. I knew I had a lot of ministry to do. And the plane takes off in La Paz, and I hear an interesting sound. Boom! That's never good when you're on a plane. And all the passengers, suddenly the sense of peace in the plane disappeared. Everybody started to be concerned. Now, I was sitting right on top of the tire, and I told the person on my side, we blew a tire. He's like, no, these are big planes. Nothing like that happens. Just watch and see. Sure enough, a couple of minutes later, captain, ladies and gentlemen, we have to do a forced landing back in La Paz because we blew one of our tires. And now there is no peace in the plane. Everybody's concerned. But, you know, my mom was incredibly peaceful. Because she understands no English and no Spanish. She had no idea what happened. So she was calm, no problem. You know, whoever knew how to pray was just praying. And I'm, you know, as any good Christian, I'm preaching to the guy beside me because this is the greatest opportunity to preach the gospel. He thinks that he's going to die. It's about time to listen to the message of the gospel. When we land, I mean, there was trucks and fire people and firemen and just everything that you can imagine because they anticipated the worst. Well, thank God we landed fine. Nothing happened. And after 8 hours of agony in La Paz, because when you're in 15,000 feet above sea level, there is very little oxygen. And to breathe is a job up there. After 8 hours, we were getting another flight, got down to Santa Cruz. And I got there and I was just exhausted. So easy to lose peace over something like that. And you know what? What God had prepared for me there, the reason I'm sharing this story is what God had prepared for me there is for people that never heard the gospel that I had no idea of. I'm going on a mission. My mission was to get my mom situated. It's a family business. Not going to preach. I'm going on a family business. But I get there. This situation happens. pieces kind of going off the window, but God had a job for me there. There were four people that needed the message of the gospel in Bolivia. And as soon as I arrived, I got invited to one of their homes to go and speak to them. You know, the easiest thing for me was to say, I'm already 8 hours late. I have too much to do. I'm sorry. Let somebody else preach to you. And here's what it came to me. The lack of peace is the biggest distraction from the enemy to do the will of God in our lives. The lack of peace is the biggest distraction from the enemy. Because when we don't have peace, we try to get peace. We do everything we can to get peace. It doesn't matter what. We want to be in peace. You look at CNN, look at Fox News, whatever channel you like. People are trying to get peace. This morning, I went to the Y and I make it my habit to pray for the people around me. And for some reason, this guy in his 50s looks at me and say, are you praying for me? And I was like, in fact, I am. I mean, God is doing the job for me. Yes, I am. And he said, why? I said, well, I just make it a habit to pray for the people around me. And I start sharing the gospel with him. But then I ask him, why did you ask me that? He said, I can take every bit of help I can. Businessman, seemed pretty successful in his 50s. Didn't seem to have any financial problem, but needed peace. And it just reminds me, we all go through seasons and situations where we need peace. What I want to submit to you tonight in the next few minutes, I don't want to talk a lot. I want to take time to pray. What I want to submit to you is that real peace is only achievable through the Prince of Peace. Real peace is only achievable through the Prince of Peace. And this is Jesus Christ the Lord. We cannot get peace on our own. We can try. Governments are trying to get peace. If you follow the news in the Middle East, it is heartbreaking what is happening in Iraq and Syria and the situation down there. I was, again, just recently in a Middle Eastern summit, actually in Latin America, but it was a Middle Eastern summit, and a pastor from Lebanon with tears in his eye explained to me the millions of refugees that crossed from Syria to Lebanon, the grand majority of them Muslims, not even Christian, that have been tortured, stripped from everything they own by ISIS and all those terrorist groups. And here they are trying to survive. And this man of God is sharing with me how terrible is their situation, but how the church there is stepping up and saying, you know what, we are going to be the agent of peace here. We're going to bring the peace of God. He's sharing with me how this church opened its door and let them in to come and sleep in the church because it's cold outside and they have no place to sleep. And how those Muslims with tears in their eyes says, we don't understand why you help us. You Christians, we're Muslims. Sounds like the Bible when Samaritans and Jews didn't relate to each other. But it was those Christians that helped their Muslim brothers and sisters and allowed them to come in. And through that testimony, many of them accepted the message of the gospel. It's only the Prince of Peace that can bring peace on earth. It will never be a government. It will never be a policy. See, we've tried all form of government, all of them. You know, I come from Egypt. We're big on pharaohs down there. But they never brought us peace. They were good at governing, but no peace. Killing people, very easy. You do something wrong, dead. That's it. It makes governing easier, but not very peaceful. Pastor Bruce liked that. You know, we've tried all kinds of government. You can talk all day long about democracy, but it didn't bring us peace, bro. There's no peace in democracy. I mean, you try everything you want, but there's no peace. We're still suffering from it. The only one that can bring us peace is the kingdom of God, is Jesus Christ. If you allow me to read with you just a couple of verses about the Lord Jesus tonight, then we're going to take time to pray. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. It's probably the most amazing prophecy about the birth of the Messiah, about the birth of Jesus. Says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. What this is saying is that true peace is only achievable through the Prince of Peace, through Jesus Christ. Why Jesus can bring us peace? Simple. I like to make things as simple as possible. Jesus can bring us peace for three simple reasons. Number one, because he is human just like us. The first verse we read says, for a child is born to us is given a son. The reason Jesus can bring me peace, can bring you peace, is because he's human just like us. He understands us. To make peace with somebody, you got to understand that person. You got to relate to them. You got to see their point of view. There's no way to bring real peace without true understanding. And Jesus gets you. He understands you. He understands what you're going through. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he was tempted in every way possible, with the exception that there was no sin found in him. But he was tempted like me and you. See, God, the creator of the universe, has a knowledge understanding of temptation. But Jesus, the Son of God, experienced temptation in the flesh. That's an interesting level. He lived through temptation. I don't know about you, but I've never seen the devil. He never came personally to tempt me, but the devil showed up and tempted Jesus personally. He felt the weight of temptation. He felt the pressure of temptation. He knew the price. He knew what's on the balance, and he was able to conquer. That's why he can bring you peace, and he can bring me peace. Because he understands us. He feels our pain. He knows what it is to feel hunger and thirst and to be tired and to cry and to see one of your best friends dies. He knows that pain. He understands what it is to see the suffering of human beings. And because of that, Jesus is qualified to bring us peace. He's qualified to bring us peace because he can relate to us on an intimate level. But if it was only this, quite frankly, it wouldn't be enough. He wouldn't have the goods to bring us peace. If he just understood us, it wouldn't be enough. The verse doesn't stop here. It continues and says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those names of Jesus tells us 100% that he is not only human, but he's also divine. He is God himself. He's not little God. He's not miniature God. He's God 100%. The essence of the gospel is to believe that Jesus Christ is God. See, most distortion and even heresies that we've seen in our lifetime and in the history of the church about Christianity had to do with these two doctrines, the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. We, the church, every one of us here, believe that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. Is this a mystery? Yes. But what is difficult for God? Nothing. What is impossible for God? Nothing. God, Jesus Christ, can bring us peace not only because he understands us and he has been tempted like us and he has been a human like us, but he can bring us peace because he owns it. He is God. He owns it. He has it in his bank account. He has an abundance of peace. It is his personal property. He is the Prince of Peace. You know, we use that term and we listen to it a lot, and it kind of loses its significance in our modern society. But the part of the world where I come from, prince of something means the owner of that something. I go visit the United Arab Emirates quite a bit. Emirates means prince, where the king is a prince for some reason. And the prince of Dubai or the prince of Abu Dhabi is the legal owner of everything there. Bottom line. They own everything there. When the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, he is the legal owner of peace. He has peace in abundance. And he has it enough to give it to you and to give it to me. So when we say that peace is only achievable through the Prince of Peace, it's not an idea. It's actually a reality. When we heard our sister tonight share her testimony of what God did in her life. That was Jesus Christ that showed up and gave her peace. Am I right? It was Jesus Christ that showed up and gave her peace. If I shared with you my testimony, Jesus showed up and gave me peace. I had no peace in my life, and I needed it desperately. I was a young man in Cairo, Egypt. There's no peace when you're under a reign of, in a sense, terror. A Christian young man in a Muslim society, there was no peace in my life. My biggest fears always came to me at night, thinking of what might happen. And even I was 15 years old. But one day, Jesus met me. And when I met the King of Kings, when I met the Prince of Peace, I realized how all my fears are ridiculous, because if he has my life in his hand, who can touch it? Who can touch it? He got my life in his hand. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Why can he bring you peace? Why can he bring me peace? Because he's human like us, but also because he is God himself, and he has all what it takes to bring us peace. He has all what it takes to bring us peace. If I can just pause for a second and help you think about this. What situation in your life you're going through where there's a lack of peace? What situation in your life are you going through now where there's a lack of peace? I want to submit to you that at the end of the message, when we start praying, you bring that situation to Jesus and ask him, Prince of Peace, take away this pain. Exchange it with peace. Exchange it with assurance that you are in control and there's nothing impossible for you. And he will, because there's nothing impossible for him. You know, I mentioned a lot about the Middle East just because my heart is burdened for them, but the sense of peace that they need down there is a little bit different than us. For them, peace means to make it through the night without being tortured. Peace means waking up, because they have no guarantee to wake up for nothing. Overnight, things can change dramatically in their life. And even so, when you talk to believers in the Middle East, there is a spark of faith in their eyes. There's a spark of hope, and it's not in the situation. It's not in the government. It is not in the army. There's nobody that can protect them down there. That spark of hope comes from a conviction. We've been Christians for 2,000 years. We're the oldest civilization, Christian civilization in the world. God will not allow us to be wiped out. That's what Christians in Iraq and Syria believe today. You know, some of those little communities, the oldest Christian communities in the world. And their belief is, we've survived 2,000 years. God's character is not going to change today. He's not going to keep us from dying 2,000 years and wipe us in one day. We're believers in Christ. Somehow, the Prince of Peace is going to come through. Let me end with this. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. The reason Jesus can bring us peace is because he's human, because he's divine, but also because he has the legal governing authority. And peace is a matter of government. Peace is a matter of government. I don't know how many of you saw this last, I don't like to talk a lot about movies in church, but if you go and see this movie, The Hunger Game, if you haven't seen it, don't go. It's terrible. But I went to see it because I'm curious about that kind of movies. And in the movie, government tried to exercise peace through peacekeepers. Peacekeepers was a bunch of people with machine guns killing people in their hands. See, government can try to exercise peace one way or the other, but you cannot exercise peace if you don't have it. The reason I trust that Jesus can bring peace into my situation, regardless of whatever is happening in the world around me, is because he has the legal right to govern. He has the legal right to govern. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, he has royal authority to reign, to govern. And in verse 7 it says, the increase of his government and of peace will never stop. Here's the key. Here's the key if you're following me. The word increase is the key. It is not automatic. It is not instant. God does not bring peace to everybody in 1 second and wipe out every problem and every tear from our eye. That doesn't happen. What the Bible says here is it's going to increase. It started 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, and it continue. If you think the world is bad today, I encourage you to read history. If you think that there are terrible situations in our world today, that's just because of Facebook and social media. Back then, there was no social media, and there was worse world than what we have today. The Roman Empire was so vicious. They were so mean. Actually, to some Christian, they used to cut them into pieces and fry them in oil. I don't think we've got people doing that today. Meanness and horrible people have always existed. But God has continued to increase His peace. In fact, you look at the world today, and a lot of what we're living today is a result of the peace of Jesus Christ and His gospel that came to the world. Many of the Western societies are enjoying peaceful living as a result of the gospel that was preaching it for hundreds of years. And when you take the gospel out, you take the peace out. They don't understand that by taking Jesus and the gospel out of our society, we're taking the element of peace. And God, He just said and said, okay, have it your way. When you cry out to me, I'll come back and help you. I'll come back and fix it. But it is the gospel that brought peace to Europe. It is the gospel that brought peace to Egypt. It is the gospel that brought peace to the United States of America. And if we want to live in peace in this nation, what we need to do is to continue to bring the Prince of Peace. And the enemy knows that. That is why every craziness that happened in our country is against Christianity today. Because the devil knows if he can just silence Christianity, if he can stop the gospel, if he can stop Jesus, he's won the battle of that nation. I want to encourage you as we close tonight. You will never find peace in the massive communication system of this world. You will never find peace in TV, in the news channels. You will never find peace in Facebook and the news that is going around. You will only find peace closing your eyes and talking to the Prince of Peace. And when you become a man, a woman of peace, it is my appeal to you as we close and pray. I want to call you to be an ambassador of peace. The Bible speaks about the man of peace. And the man of peace in the New Testament is just somebody that is peaceful enough to gather others and be friendly to them. This is my respectful appeal to you, member of Bethel, churchgoer, brother in Christ, sister in the Lord that is here tonight. Receive peace from God. And as you go home, there are people around you that has no peace. Be an ambassador of peace to others. Instead of engaging in talks about rage and problems, engage in talks about the peace of God. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We shine bringing peace to people. Amen. People need peace everywhere. If this dude needed it at the YMCA this morning here in Brentwood, Tennessee, I bet you there is people around you that need peace everywhere. And all you need is to shine with the peace of God and people will gather to it. And we stand together and pray tonight. Lord, thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Prince of Peace. God, I just pray tonight for every man and every woman in this house that came tonight was an urgency, was a need. Every one of us that came saying, Lord, I'm crying out to you. I need help. God, I pray for your peace to come into their situation. Your peace to come into their life, whatever the situation is. God, if it's an illness, if it's a terminal illness, if it's a financial problem, if it's a difficulty in the marriage, in the family, whatever the problem is, we pray tonight for your peace in our lives. Your peace in our lives. May your peace govern our lives. You are the Prince of Peace. I just want to encourage you with what we said during the message. Whatever situation you're going through that needs peace, just bring it to Jesus. Say, Lord, help me with this. I need peace. Don't cross the threshold of this church without peace tonight. God, listen to your people. You are listening. This is your house. You said that my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. We are praying to you tonight and saying, Lord, give us peace. And as you give us peace, we pray for the peace of those who are suffering more than us. We pray for those who are in Syria, in Lebanon, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, in every nation where persecution is active, China, Nigeria, Kenya. Lord, whichever country in the world where Christianity is under fire and under persecution, we ask for peace for ourselves, and with that peace, we lift up holy hands and pray for those that are under persecution. Help them, Father God. And God, we pray that you give us peace enough for us and that we can share it with our neighbors during this season, that we can share peace with our neighbors and our friends and our community here in Nashville, Tennessee. May your peace reign in our lives, Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name.